Getting you ready for the day in sports betting. This is Point Spread Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, it's the place to be for Week 7 in the National Football League. Point Spread Sunday, coming to you from the VSiN Studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino. Femi Abebefe alongside my man Mike Pritchard. Pritch, 10 games that we have here on the morning and afternoon slate. We have one Sunday night game, so 11 total in today's NFL action. Make sure to tweet at us, at VSiN Live, at Femi Abebefe, at M.I. Pritchard. We want to interact with you guys all throughout the 2 hours as we bring you our NFL analysis to hopefully get you set for what should be a fun-filled Sunday in the National Football League. We'll try to find some value, and to help us find some value, we have a guest coming up at 6:30, Julian Edlow. We've never talked to this guy on Point Spread Sunday. I'm curious to chat with him. He is the DraftKings content specialist. They have a lot of fun props at DraftKings, usually a big menu, so we'll break that down for him. That's coming up at 6:30, and of course, our picks. At the top of the second hour, we have 8 of them total. I got 6, Pritch.
Okay.
All right, so it's a little less than I usually have because we got 6 teams on bye week, but a little less than we usually have, though. You have a couple picks. We'll get to those top of the next hour, but how are you feeling as we enter into Week 7 in the National Football
League? I'm feeling pretty good, Femi. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling like I got a good feel on my philosophy on what I want to do in terms of betting games and how I want to make money. It's about that lower left to upper right for me with my bankroll, right? And
there
we want to cash tickets for sure, and we do that. But certainly, it's that journey. It's not a not a sprint. It's a marathon here when it comes to betting. But I love it. I cannot wait to break these games down because I only have a few plays, but maybe you're looking to add some more.
There we go. We're always looking to add more.
Right.
You know,
right.
We talk about the buffet and we joke about that, but you know, if anytime you get room on the plate, you can always add a little bit more.
Right.
So we'll see if we can do that throughout the show. Once again, coming to you for a couple hours here on a football Sunday. And I wanted to start off, Pritch, here because we're 6 weeks in, at least 6 weeks of games that we've seen thus far. And I think at this point, it's time to look at some trends that might be happening. You know, it's sometimes could be noise and not necessarily signal when you talk about trends. But I think there's a consistent trend that we've seen, not just this year, but all throughout, I mean, the last 2 or 3 years in the National Football League. And that's home field advantage.
Sure.
When you look at the trends right now, away teams against the spread, 54 and 40 ATS entering week number 7. Away underdogs, 33 and 22. That's 60% if you just blindly bet away underdogs at close. What do you make of that trend of away teams being the right side thus far here in the 2021 regular season?
Well, I think conventional thinking, Femi, would suggest, and I've heard this from bookmakers before, even bettors, in terms of, okay, we're going to give 3 points to the home field, the home team. Because of the home field advantage. But as you think about the league now, as opposed to the league in yesteryear, the facilities are so different. Like, I can remember that. And that was my correlation here. So when I got into the league and, you know, we were practicing in Suwanee, Georgia, we stayed at a Best Western, right? That was our headquarters, a Best Western. Now you got these cathedrals and these state-of-the-art facilities, and you can mimic and you can have the noise piped in. And so what I'm getting at is that the teams nowadays with their facilities can get ready for being the road team. They can get ready for that environment. They understand that, and they rep it out. So I think we're seeing that migration towards that way, and therefore I don't know how much of a home field advantage these teams will have. Now, dome teams are different, like the Superdome or whatever it's called now in New Orleans.
Yeah, Caesar's Dome.
Caesar's Dome, yeah. I've been through so many names with that dome. And then the King Dome back in the day because it was concrete.
Hey,
yeah, it was concrete. So we had a home field advantage. Arrowhead no longer has a home field advantage. That crowd used to be intimidating, but I think what we're seeing teams in these facilities, these state-of-the-art facilities, now as a road team, you're not really concerned anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned state-of-the-art facilities, also travel.
Right.
That's upgraded. I mean, they're all flying first class, staying at the 5-star luxury hotels. But I think also, too, teams, the way they practice. Every team pretty much practices with music now.
Right.
To get ready for that crowd noise.
That
these teams now, they put so much into preparing into these hostile environments that the environment no longer is hostile because the team has been practicing Monday, or rather Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, leading up to the game on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you watch college football, I mean, they're on a silent count anyway at the line of scrimmage most of the time in college football. So from an offensive perspective, you're not really concerned with the road environment. We traveled first class too, but you know, the thing is the facilities, when you can pipe in that noise and then you can have the ability to practice and prepare for that, and then the silent counts that you do, and then all you worry about is the execution. But I think what we're finding too, Femi, is a road team being able to match the energy of the home teams, and because they're settled in. So I've looked at that. I've looked at these trends, and that to me makes the most sense in terms of why these away teams or road teams are having an easier time than they used to.
It's interesting when you look at that graphic. Favorites 43-51 mm-hmm. against the spread, just 45%. And that's even factoring in after what we saw last week, right, when it felt like every single favorite covered. At least I believe favorites went 7-0 in the early window in week number 6. That, I think, will bounce back.
Sure.
I think we'll see that bounce back because it's only 6 weeks so far of data. But the away teams, we've seen this going back to 2018, 2019, last year in 2020 when there was no crowds because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was a big deal. But we thought, at least from bettors, at least I thought, that it would bounce back towards the home teams with the crowds coming back. Now, we saw that week one, but once that kind of fizzled out, now these road teams are coming back. Do you think that this will eventually get back to where you see 50%? Because 60% there at this
good.
Point, you just blindly bet road dogs and then just kind of see how the chips fall at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think there's always a regression somewhere. If it gets too far, if it deviates too far one way, it'll come back to it regress. If it deviates the other way, then it'll regress. I mean, it always happens. That's regression to the mean right there. We all understand that for sure. But right now, yeah, enjoy it. Ride this trend because it's pretty strong.
Yeah, it's definitely a strong trade. 60% in the National Football League. If you're hitting at that rate 6 weeks into the season, your bankroll's looking rather good. Mm-hmm. And one of the teams that is a road favorite, not even a road dog, it's a road favorite. So we've seen those road teams being able to cover road favorites even 53% right. against the spread. But the Kansas City Chiefs are 4-point favorites on the road in Nashville, taking on the Tennessee Titans. Total of 57.5 in this game. Pritch, this is probably the best game of the early window. I would say, in my opinion, you get Patrick Mahomes, Derrick Henry, two MVP candidates. But it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. How do you see this one, at least from an X's and O's standpoint, and also from a betting standpoint, as we approach kickoff here in about 5 hours?
Well, from a betting standpoint, it's tick towards the Titans here, certainly, because I saw five earlier this week for Kansas mm-hmm. City. But X's and O's is interesting because it seems like it potentially could be a shootout. And I was asking this question earlier this week on Betting Across America in terms of the point spread. I mean, when you have a 5-point spread and, okay, potentially have a shootout, does that make sense there? Is that correlated? But now you see it tick down. It's now 4, 57.5 is the total. If we do have a shootout because of the inability for both teams to play defense, this can get very, very interesting. You know, I think Patrick Mahomes, his lack of patience has led him into some difficulty out there because teams are now playing two high safeties. They're actually playing man-to-man or zone underneath, and they're forcing him to throw the ball in the middle of the field. And as he escapes the pocket, when he throws the ball over the middle of the field, if he's inaccurate, that could be a pick. Yeah. If it bounces off the hands of a receiver, it can be a pick. And so defenses are trying to make Mahomes do things he's uncomfortable with at times, or certainly his ability can get him in trouble. So we'll see if he can adjust to that. And then on the other side, for the Titans, if they're fully healthy, we saw what that offense can be and what they're capable of with Derrick Henry and then those two weapons on the outside. You have to make a decision defensively. Am I going to load the box up and try to stop the run, or am I going to try to cover these elite receivers on the outside? To me, that's pretty difficult.
Yeah, no, Derrick Henry, we saw him ripping off runs against the Buffalo Bills last Monday night in that upset victory for the Tennessee Titans. There were 6-point underdogs in that game, win the game outright. But it's interesting with that game just happening on Monday and now Tennessee turning around and taking on Kansas City here on this Sunday, because I would say that most people, if you ask them who are the contenders in the AFC, they'd say Buffalo number one mm-hmm. and still Kansas City number
two,
despite
right?
being 3-3. The fact that the line is a little bit different, it's not the, okay, if Buffalo is a 6-point favorite, Kansas City's a 6-point favorite. It's Kansas City's a 4-point favorite. So almost something that you can glean from there. All right, the market feels that Buffalo is considerably better mm-hmm. than Kansas City, which is what we haven't seen over the last couple of years.
Right, right. And internally, in the building for Kansas City, they know they have issues. I mean, Josh Gordon, we'll see what happens there. What are we going to do with these players? But they can't run the football. We're really young. on the right side of the offensive line. Now, what I mean, we can't run the football. Of course, they'll put up numbers against certain teams.
Yeah.
But they can't run it to where it can control a game if they want it to. They're still going to rely on Patrick Mahomes to be Patrick Mahomes. And you got Kelce with the neck issue. I think he's going to be okay, though. You got the quad issue with Tariq Hill. How explosive is he still going to be making plays? But I think on the other side, in the opposite side of Kansas City, when you see a pretty good offense like the Tennessee Titans can have, to me, I don't know about Patrick Mahomes and his patience. I'm worried about that as a better.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of pressure on him. And some of those mistakes that we've seen thus far feel like it's him forcing it too
right.
much, because he knows we can't go a possession without scoring.
Right.
Otherwise, we're going to be down two scores. So I have to put up points to be able to keep up in what Chiefs games kind of turn into, like a tennis match. It almost feels like, of, all right, we're serving, then they're serving.
Sure.
And stuff like we don't want them to be able to break or what have you. Interesting to note, though, with this game, we mentioned the total at 57.5. The over is 7-3 in the last 10 games between these two teams. That number of 57.5 is quite hefty, but I can see it happening.
Absolutely.
I can absolutely see it happening. And both teams, it feels like to me, will probably get into the 30s. And if you get that, obviously that's 60-plus points. And it should be a fun game. And we saw it last Monday with 34-31 Tennessee beating Buffalo. So interesting to see how this one plays out over in Nashville. But we are just getting started here on Point Spread Sunday. On the other side, we're talking about more props and also ranking teams by their records. It's Point Spread Sunday, Week 7 in the National Football League. You're watching VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Point Spread Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Breeders' Cup is right around the corner in the first weekend in November. Sign up today with promo code VEGAS1000 and receive $10 instantly and up to a $1,000 bonus. Visit VSiN.com/horses for details. Use the bonus code VSiN1000. That's VSiN.com/horses, promo code VEGAS1000. It is Point Spread Sunday, coming to you from the VSiN studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino. Femi Abebefe, Mike Pritchard, getting you set for week number 7 in the National Football League. And Pritch, when we're bettors, or as bettors, I should say, we always power rate these teams just based on, because we always want to know, on a neutral field, what would this team be rated over this team? So I figured it'd be good to kind of rank these teams by the records is how they're grouped, starting with the 5-1 teams: Ravens, Buccaneers, Packers, Cowboys, Rams. Those are kind of the elite teams. Cardinals aren't in it. They're the only 6-0 team we have in the NFL thus far. But of those 5-1 teams, again, Ravens, Buccaneers, Packers, Cowboys, and Rams, how would you rank those? That stack of five
right.
teams that we have here.
That's crazy to think about, right? We got to rank these teams that are playing pretty good football. I'll start with number 5, and I'll put the Aaron Rodgers and the Packers there at number 5. Just because Aaron Rodgers, this is going to be his last year, I think. The last dance, and whether it's scorched earth or not, at some point, whether it's going to be this coming week against Arizona on a short week, I wonder how they're going to react to adversity. They had it early on. They lost that first game, but they've been on a roll now. At some point, that's going to catch up to them. Then it gets difficult, because I really love how Lamar Jackson has ascended here. His level of play at quarterback. I mean, he's evolved. They talked about all year of Lamar Jackson becoming this pocket passer,
yeah.
and he's become this pocket passer. I mean, the guy threw for 2,700 yards last year as a quarterback. So he needed to fix that, and he has. So do I go Rams at 4, or do I go Ravens at 4? I'm gonna lean Rams.
Okay.
Because it's a new quarterback situation with Matthew Stafford, even though it's going well. It's going nice. They lost to the Cardinals, but it's going okay. So then my number 3 team, I got to go Ravens, like I just mentioned about Lamar Jackson. Then number 2, my goodness, Dak Prescott, welcome to elite.
Yeah.
This guy is playing on an elite
fantastic.
Level. He is fantastic, earning every dime of that $40 million a year that Jerry Jones has given him. The fact that Jerry Jones was reluctant to doing that, too, is beyond me.
Seems so silly.
It does, right? And then number 1, until somebody knocks this man down, or until he retires, I don't know how you don't pick Tom Brady. I mean, he just proves people wrong time and time and time again. So he's my number one team at 5-1 records right there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know they have their issues with the secondary, but that's more so a health thing to me. Right. I don't think it's like a this can't be corrected. I think that's once they get those guys back, I think they'll get back to the defense we saw at the end of last season when they went on the run to win the Super Bowl there. I think I'd put the Ravens number two.
Do you? Okay.
So Lamar Jackson right now, he's, in my opinion, is playing like the MVP with what he's able to do and hold that ship afloat without all the injuries they have. I mean, 17 guys on injured reserve. I mean, they've been decimated with injuries, but it's not a factor. We're not talking about it. We're not harping on it because they continue to win, and I think it's because of Lamar Jackson there. I would put the Ravens at number two. I think I would have the Rams three.
Okay.
I think I would. I think.
What would you have the Cowboys?
Four. I think I'd go okay. Cowboys four.
Wow.
And maybe because full disclosure, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
So it could be the cautious optimism right. of I don't want to get too excited. but I think I'd put the Cowboys at four right now just because I'm not the biggest Mike McCarthy fan. And I know they have all the talent in the world. Dak Prescott, you mentioned, playing like an MVP caliber player. Their receivers are amazing. Offensive line is really humming. The running game with Zeke and Pollard, it can't be stopped. The defense has come along. So you're checking off every single box
but yet you
imaginable.
Have a four.
Except for the head coach. And the head coach, I have a question mark. I know he's a Super Bowl winner, but just the decision-making that in-game that we see from Mike McCarthy, it holds me back just a little bit. But fourth is not bad.
No.
I mean, you're fourth in the National Football League. That's not bad at all. But Cowboys would be fourth, and I think the Green Bay Packers at five. But they're getting healthier, too. Maybe towards November, December, the Packers go up a little bit higher. Of the 4-2 teams that we have in the National Football League, we have five of them as well. The Chargers, Titans, Bills, Bengals, and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
How about that? How would you stack those teams up?
Well, you know, I'm looking at this category too, this group of teams, and okay, where are they going? I think the Titans finally have found the offense that they had envisioned. New offense coordinator Todd Downing, as well as new players Julio Jones. And so, okay, what are we going to do without Arthur Smith? This is the week, or last week was, in which they probably figured it out. Now, they're not as healthy. And so where are they going to trend? Are they going to trend up or trend sideways? And I think that I'll put the Titans at number four. Number five. The Raiders at number four because of Derek Carr. Derek Carr has ascended too. I mean, I don't know if he's to that elite level yet, but he's getting close. And then certainly you think about the situation that the Raiders are in, not only with Coach Gruden parting ways there, but there's a lot of players with 1 or 2 year contracts and no guaranteed money. So there's so much uncertainty there. But that could be a motivating factor, I believe, for this Raiders football team. And then I got the Bengals at number three. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe that. But their defense, Femi, their defense, and I think people are sleeping on them, holding opponents to under 20 points a game. And that they play the Packers. They've had some quality opponents on their schedule so far. And then at number two, certainly the Chargers with Herbert. He's tracking that way. And I think the Chargers, if you just look at history, they've always been one of those teams that are immensely talented, right? And now they have the quarterback playing at this level. It sets them up pretty nice. And then I got the Bills. Even though they lost to the Titans, I think the Bills can still make a run at the Super Bowl. So they're my number one team in this category.
As for the 3-3 teams, we have Vikings, Steelers, Bears, Broncos, Chiefs, Panthers. One of those is not like the others, in my opinion. Let's see if that lines up with your opinion as well.
Yeah, well, the Bears are god-awful. They are. They're terrible. But so are the Broncos. The Broncos stink right now.
Four straight losses for Denver.
Yeah, can we put them in a tie somewhere at the bottom? That's what I would like to do. I think Big Ben and the Steelers, they have a chance to get better. Early on, we saw the growing pains of a coordinator and Big Ben kind of fighting the direction. But, you know, the Steelers, they need to run the football, and they know that. And that defense is pretty good, too. And then the Vikings are right there. I think the Vikings are in the middle of the pack in terms of the 3-3 teams. If they can just be consistent, that's what we're looking for there. I have the Panthers making the playoffs, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And then, you know,
despite
then you
got the losing streak and what we've seen and all that stuff.
I do because, you know, Sam Darnold, I thought the fact that the Panthers wanted this guy, that he was going to conform. And, okay, Christian McCaffrey, I know he's on IR right now, but when he gets back, that's going to be a big boost. But Sam Darnold, he's got to be careful here that he doesn't play himself into a backup quarterback role. Because that's where it's trending.
It's now or never for
him. It's now or never for him. And somebody needs to get in his ear and wake him up. And if they do, they can get a lot of production from that player.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, the Panthers are 3-point favorites on the road against the New York Giants. We'll get into that game a little bit later on. I have a pick in that game, which we will talk about at the top of the second hour. But the 2-4 team, we have the New England Patriots, Indianapolis Colts, Washington football team, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Seattle Seahawks, the Russell Wilson-less Seattle Seahawks. How do you rank those teams?
Well, Washington, the football team, disappointed in their defense for sure. Mm-hmm. Then the Seattle Seahawks without Russell Wilson, they haven't experienced this for quite a while. I don't know what direction they're going to go in. I like the Eagles and their youth on their roster. The Colts, I believe, can get back in the playoff race. They got a big game, as we'll break that one down, too. But Carson Wentz getting healthy. Quentin Nelson at some point is going to get healthy. That's the best offensive lineman in the league. Yeah. And then you got the Patriots. I mean, it's Bill Belichick and others right there. But will Bill Belichick figure it out? This is an important week. I don't know if they'll cover, to be honest with you, but this is an important week, even though it's the Jets.
They've been so close against some really good teams, Tampa Bay, then Dallas last week.
Right.
I feel like the Cowboys were begging them to win the game, and they couldn't do it.
Right.
It doesn't feel like they have the horsepower to be able to beat those elite teams. Now, we're just ranking them against other teams that are not as good, but in terms of what we've seen from them thus far, it feels like they put these big performances together against these great teams. They come just short, and then against these bad teams like we saw against Houston, they were in a dogfight, and at one point looked like they were going to lose to Davis Mills.
Right, right. Key injuries, the offensive line, Trent Brown, that situation, and then a rookie quarterback. It's not a great recipe right there for Bill Belichick, but I think he'll figure it out, though.
Time to go bottom of the basement. Let's go dumpster diving. The 1-5 teams, Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston Texans, New York Giants, Miami Dolphins, and the New York Jets.
Oh, this is easy here, Femi. I mean, the Texans, my goodness, they have no wheels or anything on that carriage. 5-4, the Giants, Joe Judge. I don't even know if he's going to last a year. Then the Jets. The Jets, number 3 in this category of 1-5 teams. And then the Dolphins, because I really like Flores as a head coach.
Yeah, it's surprising to see them.
It is. And then, you know, look, number 1, Jacksonville. I know Urban Meyer and his shenanigans off the field, but the noise is really loud. But I think out of this category, the Jacksonville Jaguars is the best 1-5 team there.
Imagine saying that.
I know.
Like, that's a thing that's happening right now. But Trevor Lawrence is outstanding. He looks like he is the absolute real deal. If he can just shake off the Urban Meyer cobwebs that are going on there in Jacksonville, we'll see how that unfolds in Duval County. Interesting stuff nonetheless. They're on a bye week if they're playing in London. But don't go away. Point Spread Sunday rolls on. It's stop, drop, shut him down, open up. Props on the other side.
This is Point Spread Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA season might have tipped off, but there's still time to grab your copy of the VSEN Pro Basketball Betting Guide. It has strategies, predictions, and best bets to stay ahead of the odds makers. Our hoops experts, including Jonathan Von Tobel, provide strategy and advice, as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. This digital guide is a must-have, so give yourself a betting edge this season and get your copy now for only $9.99 at VSEN.com/subscribe. It is Point Spread Sunday, coming to you from the South Point Hotel and Casino. Femi Abebefe, Mike Pritchard, getting you set for week number 7 in the National Football League. Pritch, we have picks coming up at the top of the second hour. Also, Julian Edlow, DraftKings content specialist. We're going to talk with him about some of the interesting props that they have over at DraftKings. It's always a full menu, but first, let's talk about props that we have noticed in a little game I like to call Stop, Drop, Shut Them Down, Open Up. Props. So, starting off, the number 1 highest scoring team in week 7, the favorite are the Los Angeles Rams at +330, Cardinals +380, Chiefs +500, the Bucks 7-1, Packers 10-1, Raiders 15-1, Titans 16-1, Ravens 17-1, Falcons 22-1, and the 49ers 25-1. Anything stand out to you in terms of value with this prop?
Well, in terms of value, I mean, you're looking at the Packers and Aaron Rodgers at 10-1. Certainly, you know, anytime you have a quarterback like that at 10-1, that has some value. You think about the Raiders and Derek Carr. I just spoke of him not too long ago. As he has ascended his level of play, they're an explosive team. That's their identity. They want to throw the ball. They want to get back to that vertical passing game. Henry Ruggs III is averaging over 20 yards per reception. And they got a guy named Darren Waller who is just a difference maker. And then Tennessee Titans, there's some value there because of who their opponent is. When I look at highest scoring teams on today's schedule. It's the combination of, okay, defense, and then also you think about turnovers. How many turnovers could there be in the matchup? Certainly. And then offensive prowess, the firepower that they have. I think the Kansas City Chiefs hampered a little bit, but the Titans, if everybody's healthy, Julio Jones, I'm talking to you, this team can light up a scoreboard there too. So to me, it is about the matchup. The Ravens and the Bengals, that's a divisional game that I'm not too sure about. But in terms of value, I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers at 10-1. Against a football team that hasn't played well this year.
Yeah, the Packers 10-1 is the one that initially stood out to me, especially with the Washington football team. I believe cornerback William Jackson, he's a game-time decision, but it's leaning towards doubtful in terms of playing. So you can imagine what Devontae Adams and that passing game could do against a football team defense that hasn't lived up to expectations by any means. But it's interesting that you pointed out the Tennessee Titans, because the Chiefs are 5-1, but the Titans are 16-1. That doesn't really make sense to me, especially when you look at the line of Kansas City being a 4-point favorite and a total of 57.5. So I think the Titans pick of 16-1 is probably even better value than the Packers of 10-1. Just knowing what we know about what that game could possibly turn into. And I get it that the Titans, they'd use a lot of ground games, so maybe that runs the clock out. Mm-hmm. But I can see that team easily putting up 30-plus points, because we saw it Monday night against a Buffalo defense that's better than Kansas City.
And Henry can go for 75. We saw that at 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. So even though they're running the clock out, he could just explosive.
Exactly.
Runs.
They could be explosive. But defensively, Kansas City has a problem. Anytime, and then with the one out too, you could see them going to two tight ends a little bit more and balancing out a defense so you can run the football. Now, if they do load the box, you got one-on-ones on the outside with Julio and A.J. Brown. And to me, the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't have cover guys that can cover those two receivers. So the Titans have it going. Now, can they be consistent with their offense? So that's the question.
Time to get negative, Pritch. Lowest scoring team in week number 7, the favorite Houston Texans, plus 350. The Lions, plus 650. Bears, plus 650. Jets, 7-1. Giants, 10-1, as are the Colts. Washington football team and Bengals, 11-1. Panthers, 18-1. Eagles, 22-1. Anything stand out to you there?
Well, I mean, the Texans, that's the easy pick. Well, they scored 3 points last week. and again, it's a situation, thankfully, I was not in as a player, but those veteran players, there's not a lot of youth on this roster in terms of, okay, let's try hard because our futures depend on it. You got veterans that are making business decisions now in terms of what this year is going to turn out to be. You're still getting effort from the Lions. Their matchup against the Rams is going to be difficult run right there too. I'm going to go, because I have the a situation in this game, the Giants and Carolina. Carolina's defense, against lower quality opponents, and I believe the Giants fall into that category because of injuries and then certainly the way the year has gone. I can see Daniel Jones turning the ball over repeatedly in this one because of the pressure defense from Carolina. It's 10-1 for a lowering scoring situation with the Giants right there.
We are just, I think you're looking at my note sheet or something.
I did not. Because I
had next to the Giants, I had an asterisk of that's the one that I would play. Okay. Giants 10-1. I mean, you look at the Giants' offense, it hasn't been great, and they have injuries on top of that.
Yeah.
No Saquon Barkley, no Kenny Golladay, no Kadarius Toney. Those guys are all out. And then there's guys that are questionable. Four other pass catchers in John Ross, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram. Now, I think those guys will play, but they're clearly going to be compromised in some regard. And this is just a Giants team that's just not good. Jason Garrett's not a good offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I'm a Cowboys fan. I know how the guy calls plays. Trust me, there are better things to do than watch Jason Garrett's offenses. And the total in that game, 42.5.
Right.
So it's already expected to be a lower total game. So the Giants, I think, is definitely the play. If you were to bet into this market, Giants 10-1 is easy. That's not even, I wouldn't even hesitate with that one.
Is there a prop out there for the number of screenplays called in this game from Garrett?
There needs to be. How many hitches are we gonna run there on 3rd and 8 that goes 6 yards? Most passing yards in week number 7. Of course, the favorite, as always, I think he's the favorite every week, is Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs, plus 380. Tom Brady 6-1. Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr 9-1. Matt Ryan is 11-1. Kyler Murray 13-1. Joe Burrow 17-1. Tua Tagovailoa and Taylor Heinicke and Jared Goff all 18-1.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Matt Ryan against Miami, if they're secondary, because you know he does have Kyle Pitts, and I think they discovered something with this young man. Finally, Arthur Smith, thank you. Ridley's coming back too. That one's intriguing to me. Not really a running game because of their offensive line situation. What's going to be easier for them in terms of trying to get better as a football team? And as we see the league become a passing league, they got to work on their pass protection there. So Matt Ryan is intriguing to me at 11-1. Is more so the offense intriguing to me at 11-1 against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think the one for me is Derek Carr at 9-1.
Okay.
We're seeing right now the total in that game is 48.5, so it's kind of trending towards being a more average scoring game in terms of the NFL here. But this is going to be a seesaw battle, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The line right now, 2.5, is the consensus line in favor of the Vegas Raiders. Now, you would need Darren Waller to play. That's my only concern
right.
with looking at Derek Carr at 9-1 for most passing yards, because we know how much he targets Darren Waller, the comfortability that he has with Waller. But the Eagles secondary is not good. And if the Raiders end up falling behind, because we've seen a lot of sharp money betting Philadelphia throughout the week, if the Raiders end up falling behind, they're obviously going to have to throw the ball to get back into the game. Henry Ruggs is one of the more explosive receivers in the National Football League. And also, there's an interesting trend with the Eagles. The last 15 games against AFC teams, 13-2 to the over.
Okay.
So if this is going to be a game that opens up, the Eagles maybe get a lead. I think you see Carr throwing the football down the field constantly. They end up having to abandon the run game. I think Derek Carr is a decent shot at 9-1 in this market there against an Eagles secondary that has been carved up against a good offense.
Well, they have, because Jonathan Gannon, the new defensive coordinator, very, very predictable. Now, yeah. He does have one player, though, that I really enjoy watching, Darius Slay. I think very he can match up, but will he get to that? Will he get to the matchup element of the National Football League? This is the week to do it, if you ask me. Don't play the too high shell zone coverage scheme thing. Let your great players match up against the other great players for the Raiders and see how that game plays out that way.
Let's move along to most rushing yards. Derrick Henry, surprise, surprise, the favorite at plus 130. Darrell Henderson, 7-1. So a big drop off from the favorite to the next guy. Chuba Hubbard, 12-1. Damian Harris, Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, Jonathan Taylor, Joe Mixon, all 18-1. And then Damian Williams and Elijah Mitchell at 22-1.
Yeah, good list here, too. This matchup against the Bengals and the Ravens gets interesting to me for Joe Mixon, 18-1 right there. I think the Ravens' defensive front could be worn down at this point a little bit. A lot of physical football. We see Calais Campbell with a back issue. I mean, there's some guys on that defensive unit for Baltimore that's kind of banged up here. So I think if that offensive line can get after it, it's that kind of matchup too, right? Bengals-Ravens, a physical game. Joe Mixon, 18-1 is intriguing.
I think I'd just go chalk. Give me Derrick Henry, plus 110.
Okay.
Just give me Henry. He's going to run all over the Chiefs. Sure. At least that's what I think what happens. Real quick, receiving yards. Devontae Adams, the favorite, plus 550. I won't list them all down there. Travis Kelce's 10-1. But
right.
what stands out to you from the receiving yards prep?
Calvin Ridley, 14-1, coming back certainly against Miami. Look, they might not have their top two corners. We'll see.
Yep.
Game time decisions right there.
I think that's the important note there. If the corners aren't there for the Dolphins, Calvin Ridley could have a big day. I think I'll go Devontae Adams. I'm a chalk eater as well in that one. No William Jackson. Devontae Adams is going to eat on the Washington football team. But don't go away. On the other side, a little market check talking division odds here on Point Spread Sunday.
This is Point Spread Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money, and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is Point Spread Sunday, coming to you from the VSiN studios at the South Point Hotel and Casino. A wonderful morning. Week 7 in the National Football League. Femi Ebefe, Mike Pritchard. Pritch, it is time to play a little market check. Always checking in on the division odds as these things fluctuate throughout the season. So starting with the AFC North, this is an interesting one because we have a matchup between two of the top teams, record-wise at least, in the AFC North between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are 6.5-point favorites with a total of 45.5. But when you look at the division odds, Baltimore right now is minus 225 to win the division. The Browns plus 330, Bengals 10-1, Steelers 18-1. These odds, of course, courtesy DraftKings. Interesting to see the Bengals at 10-1 because if they win today, they're in first place of the division.
Right. Clearly, people aren't buying into what the Bengals are doing this season. Zach Taylor, the head coach, came into the year under fire. I think they have the equal amount of wins that they had already that they had all last year. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing the buy-in, too. And I think the indicator for me, Femi, has the season progresses here for the Bengals. They didn't draft an offensive lineman. They drafted Ja'Marr Chase at the top there.
And he's looking like the rookie of the year
so
far. He
is, right? But, okay, the indicator, because everybody thought they were going to go offensive line to help out Burrow because of the injury and everything, but they're okay. The offensive line has been okay. I mean, Mixon's having a decent year too, but they're explosive on the outside. Joe Burrow has got to calm down with the interceptions a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he is a playmaker at quarterback, so they have something right there. And then defensively, was it the no-name defense now in this division? Because these guys are getting the job done. And, okay, you can look at opponents, but yet they have a physical presence to them. They played some elite quarterbacks and held their own. And so you're looking at a defense that's giving or not allowing over 20 points a game so far this year. And I think that's a good recipe within this division right there.
It's funny that this team lost to the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. And they, right. at three quarters to that game, it didn't even look close. Now, the Bears let them back into the game, ultimately won. But because I'm a little cautious about this Bengals team, I'm not sure if I'm all the way in buying.
Okay.
I'm a little slow to the party here with Cincinnati just because I keep going back to that result. Now, maybe it could be a throwaway result in the NFL of like, hey, weird things happen sometimes. But the fact that the Bears, what we've seen of them through 6 weeks, were really handling the Cincinnati Bengals. I'll just throw that out there.
You got the brakes on right there?
Okay. Brakes are all the way down.
Okay. But the thing is, okay, explain the Packers and the Saints, right?
Yeah,
those kind of things. I mean,
that's fair.
It's the National Football League. I hear what you're saying. You know, for the Bears, wow. It's the trend of the inevitable, though, because of who their head coach is. He's not going to be there. He should not be there after this season, right? And but you have those moments. I think Zach Taylor on the other side is coaching for a job, and he knows the situation there. I don't know. I got the buy-in to a little, but I'm going to wait and see after this match up against the Ravens, though. But 10-1 is attractive.
That's very attractive. As much as I'm saying I'm selling and the brakes are all the way on, 10-1 definitely is attractive, especially if they're able to get an outright upset win over the Baltimore Ravens. Bengals are the biggest liability for the books right now to win the AFC North. Highest ticket percentage and highest handle, of course, was the offseason champions, the mm-hmm. Cleveland Browns. And that's a little bit of shade at them. I know they've had injuries this year. They were a good team, a really loaded roster. But
it's not looking right for them, though.
It's not looking right for them so far. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out with Case Keenum. Baker Mayfield's injured right now. The AFC South, this is another interesting division because the Titans are leading right now. They're a minus 375 favorite at DraftKings. Colts plus 280. The Jags 80-1. Mm. The Texans 150-1. This is not to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
This is just to win the division. Interesting stuff right there. Highest ticker percentage and handle on the Tennessee Titans, which makes sense, especially preseason with all the injuries that we saw with the Indianapolis Colts. But we mentioned it last week, this Titans schedule rather difficult. Now, they got past the Buffalo Bills, which not many people were expecting getting that win as a 6-point underdog. Now, though, they turn around and face this Kansas City Chiefs team, which we broke down earlier at the top of the show. Any value you see here? I'm even seeing the updated odds right now. Colts plus 350
right.
to win the division.
Well, you know, the Colts, they're one of those teams that, okay, bring in Carson Wentz and everything's going to be okay. But I thought that it's a new quarterback. It's a situation for a new quarterback with a new team who that new quarterback was injured, had surgery, and really didn't develop any chemistry. Now they're developing the chemistry. If you're looking at the Colts, that situation, Quentin Nelson, to me, is a big wild card. Once he gets back, I wonder how good this offense can be. I believe the Colts defense can win them a division, whereas the Titans, Vrabel, he's got to get it right there.
What is he doing on the sidelines?
I have no idea.
The defense is terrible. He's supposed to be a defensive guy. His in-game stuff isn't even that great.
Right.
I think he just got lucky on Monday night with Josh Allen slipping.
Sure.
Like, I was tweeting it during the game. Mm-hmm. What does he do for the Tennessee Titans?
Experiment. That's what he does. Because, I mean, this inverted cover two thing with corners and safeties is destroying me. Because I'm trying, what are you doing? This isn't college, right? And but that to me shows that they don't have it. They don't have a formula defensively. And that should tell every better that. Right now, they're still trying to figure it out. Whereas offensively, they figured it out. They got the formula. But can you bet on that? Can you rely on one side of the ball being that dominant to win the division? If the Colts can get healthy and string them together at, what, plus 350 here, that's a nice shot right there.
Now, the injury bug keeps just going after the Indianapolis Colts. T.Y. Hilton was ruled out yesterday, so they're down a number of pass catchers. No T.Y. Hilton. Paris Campbell was placed on injury reserve earlier this week. So you're down to some pass catchers. Braden Smith, the offensive tackle, he's going to miss, I think, his fourth straight game on the offensive line. You mentioned Quentin Nelson. He will be back tonight against the San Francisco 49ers. But they're so banged up. Safety Julian Blackman tears his Achilles in practice. It feels like they just can't get past this injury bug. But if they're able to stay healthy, they, to me, look like a better team than the Tennessee Titans, at least from what I've seen over the last couple of weeks with the Colts, now that they're getting some guys back.
Right, absolutely. And some trade rumors, too, for where they are deep, and that's a running back. I mean, Marlon Mack's on a trading block. So they got great running backs and backs out of the backfield. I mean, you think about this offense with Frank Reich. He's going to throw the football that way, too, conservative a little bit. But Carson Wentz is a playmaking quarterback. Now, he's got to stay healthy. He's a high-risk player. To me, that bet, if you're looking at trying to buy the Colts low here, it's dependent on Carson Wentz and his health, even though he's a high-risk player.
Real quick here, Pritch, with the AFC West, the Chiefs are the favorite at minus 105. Chargers, they're on a bye week, plus 155. Raiders, plus 650. Broncos, 16-1. Raiders are the biggest liability, of course. That shouldn't be shocking as we live here in Vegas, and the fans back their team with their wallets. Highest ticket percentage and highest handle as well on the Vegas Raiders. To me, it looks like it's Chiefs or nothing from the AFC West odds.
Sure. Yeah, the Chiefs, I think that's the comfortable pick. I'm uncomfortable with the Chiefs right now, though.
Okay.
The Chargers, certainly with that quarterback, but you got the Raiders at plus 800. To me, last week they proved, and again, it was against Broncos, but they did prove to me that they could get by any obstacle that's in their way, the adversity thing. Now, can they keep it together, though? Do they have enough great players in order to win this division? They beat the Chiefs last year, and I think they're confident about that situation.
Yeah, the Chiefs, it feels like they got through that tough part of their schedule. Now, you mentioned it last week that, hey, if you're not playing well, the whole schedule's tough.
Sure.
So if they can start stringing some games together, another interesting futures market play with the Chiefs at DraftKings earlier on Friday when I looked at it in the MVP market, Patrick Mahomes 18-1. That's juicy odds for a guy who's going to be putting up quite a bit of numbers, especially with the defense performing the way it has. He's going to have to put up numbers if they're going to win some games here down the stretch. So that's one to keep an eye on. I know that we like the new things, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, the shiny toys, but Patrick Mahomes, he's lurking.
Yes, he is. He's one of those players. He's no longer a unicorn, though, Femi.
No.
I think the league's caught up to him.
Yeah, no, the league is definitely at least – they know how to defend the Chiefs a little bit with this too high look. We'll see if they can crack that code as they take on the Tennessee Titans as a 4-point favorite, total of 57.5. Real quick, though, NFC South odds, doesn't seem like there's much suspense there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the overwhelming favorite to win that division right now. My notes have it at minus 650, Saints 6-1, Panthers 22-1, and the Falcons 50-1.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no reason to, like I said, until somebody.
Why even bet into the
right, market? Even bet it. Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you didn't bet it early on, then certainly don't look at it now because, I mean, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. He's going to win the division there.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how you wrap that bow up on the NFC South there. But that wraps up hour number one for us here on Point Spread Sunday. Hour number two, we've got our picks coming up at the top of the segment. Pritch, you have a couple plays. Have I talked you into anything, or have you, with us talking it out, you maybe late ad?
Yeah, I made some notes. You know, the Titans situation is intriguing to me. Now, I might find a teaser, though, because of where that line has moved. It's moved towards the Titans right there. So, what, 4 points? They're catching four.
Yep.
Maybe I can find a teaser situation as we discuss more in program.
Right now, he has two. I have six. We'll break them all down on the other side. Picks to start the hour number two here on Point Spread Sunday. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.